As we march toward Election Day in this country, U.S. soldiers continue to march toward the Iraqi city of Mosul, where they'll help guide Iraqi and Kurdish forces who are trying to retake that city from ISIS. The operation has been going on for more than a week now. U.S. Defense Secretary Ash Carter now says the Mosul mission is part of a two-pronged assault to claw back ISIS strongholds in the Middle East. He told NBC that the next target is Raqqa, the de facto ISIS capital in Syria.
It's been long a part of our plan that the Mosul operation would kick off when it did, as is the plan that goes back many months now, and that Raqqa would follow soon behind. So we've planned for that, and we have the resources for both.
But ISIS is fighting back with suicide car bombs, and the United Nations says the group is rounding up civilians to use as human shields and has been executing others. Joining us now, NPR National Security Editor Phil Ewing. Hi, Phil.
Hey, good afternoon.
And Ash Carter says this was always the plan to go after Mosul and Raqqa, but he seems to be saying the two offensives will overlap. What are you hearing?
That is an interesting thing to hear from the leaders of the Pentagon, because they said that the Mosul offensive would be right around the corner for about a year.
Right.
And they began to manage expectations after they first started saying that in 2015, and eventually got to the point where they could support the Iraqis and the Iraqi leaders could give the order for it to begin. So I don't doubt that they intend for pressure on Raqqa to continue and for an offensive to take place at some time soon, as we heard Secretary Carter there say, but we don't know exactly when that will be or what soon actually means in this context.
Well, and we'll talk about Raqqa a little bit more in a moment. But first, let's talk about the attack that is going on right now, the fight for Mosul. What do we know about it so far?
We know that it continues apace. We know that the Iraqi and American leaders who are overseeing it were pleased with the first few days of progress, but they also have been careful to condition expectations by everyone that this will be a long fight. It could be a very bloody fight. And there are a lot of unanswered questions still about how ISIS in the city itself will respond when these Iraqi forces with American support actually get there. Will they stand and fight? Will it be a Stalingrad-style nightmare of house-to-house fighting and building bombs and all the other horrors that American forces very sadly came to know in the previous Iraq war? Or will ISIS do kind of a fighting withdrawal, which is what it's done in other places in Iraq, where it tries to take as many of the enemy with it as it can, but doesn't stand to give a force for, in this case, the Iraqis, the Americans, to destroy, and instead tries to move out and keep its fighters in being? We just don't know how they'll respond once we actually get there.
Well, we've heard Donald Trump say over and over again that because the U.S. gave so much warning for the attack on Mosul, that a lot of ISIS fighters probably left. Do we have a sense of how many people are still in Mosul at this point, or how many have just fled?
The Pentagon says there are between 3,000 and 5,000 fighters in the greater Mosul area, but it readily admits that's just an estimate. There's no way to get, as Pentagon officials would say, a precise nose count of exactly how many combatants are still there. Lieutenant General Townsend, who's the top American commander, said at the Pentagon yesterday that, of course, these guys move around within their caliphate, as they describe it. It's territory they conquered and which they control, so they have some freedom of movement. But he was also quick to add the U.S. watches from the air and space very carefully how the Islamic State moves people around and moves vehicles and weapons around, and so it can keep very close track of that. The trick is, how much can they do about it? Where can they target, and where is it too dangerous because there's a risk of hitting civilians, for example?
So what about this idea to also retake Raqqa in Syria? It seems that Syria would be a much more difficult place to launch that kind of an attack just because of all of the various forces that are there, some of whom we're not very close with.
That's exactly right. It's a much more difficult challenge, and it's very different because the U.S. has a relationship with the government of Iraq. The government of Iraq has provided these forces that can mass and move with American support like a conventional army toward Mosul. In northern Syria, there's this group of various kinds of people from all over the area, the so-called Syrian Democratic Forces, which includes Kurdish fighters, local Arab fighters, other people from around the Middle East. Turkey is also very interested to be involved and potentially control how any offensive against Raqqa would go, because it does not want to empower some of the Kurdish forces that it considers its enemies. And the United States doesn't have as much ability to put trainers and support troops and other aspects of military operations close to the fight in the way that it can in northern Iraq. So if and when the offensive begins, it could look very different from this Mosul offensive that we've been watching now.
And of course, we'd also have to be worried about how the Russians would play into any offensive to take back Raqqa. But I want to just ask you finally about the idea. On the one hand, the Obama administration would say we've got to take these cities back because this is ISIS's way of saying that it's reestablishing the caliphate by having actual territory in the Middle East. On the other hand, a lot of Americans worried that we're just getting involved in another war that will never end.
That's why the Obama administration and whichever administration follows it has to calibrate the American involvement very carefully, because it wants to empower these local groups, the Iraqis in Iraq, these other groups in northern Syria, but not have anything like, at least so far, a commitment the United States had in the Iraq invasion in 2003. So it wants to help them from afar, but not actually put American lives in peril. And as we hear politicians in the presidential campaign talk about so much, put these troops on the ground. It's been able to do that so far, although those forces haven't been as quick as effective as American troops themselves might be if they were in the lead there.
That's NPR National Security Editor Phil Ewing. Phil, thanks so much as always.
Thank you.